Welcome to the Pink Cloud Podcast. In this weekly podcast, we offer a supportive space where women share their personal experiences of getting sober and navigating sobriety while being young. In each episode, we deliver an amazing combination of heart-to-hearts and informative interviews with sober women without judgment. This podcast is about of necessity for like-minded women trying to seek and maintain sobriety while achieving more in their lives. Whether it's in sobriety, relationships, career, spirituality, mental health, or health and wellness. Created with sobriety, recovery, and sisterhood in mind, the Pink Cloud Podcast unites the voices of phenomenal women as we share deep and inspiring conversations of hope for a bright future.
Hello and welcome to the Pink Cloud Podcast. I'm your sober host, Lisa H., and I'm talking today about signs that you may have a problem with alcohol. Now, for me, it was hard for me to start to realize that I had a problem with alcohol because I had a checklist of things that were required in order for me to be an alcoholic. I didn't drink in the mornings ever. I never one time woke up and looked for the bottle. I felt like I wasn't ever really craving alcohol, that I could live without it. I could quit if I needed to. And I wasn't homeless. I had this idea, and I've said it a million times, but I had this idea of an alcoholic being a man under the bridge, just a bum who's homeless and drinking out of a paper bag. And I didn't fit any of those boxes that I felt were necessary for someone to be an alcoholic or have a problem with alcohol. So it took me a little while to realize that I do have a problem. So the first thing is you try to moderate your drinking. Now, if you're trying to moderate or you feel like you need to quit or cut back or take a break, those are signs that you have a problem with alcohol. So what I would do, which was crazy looking back, that I should have seen that I had a bigger problem than I did, but I would start drinking a glass of water in between drinks. And I don't know what I was trying to do. I guess I was trying to not black out as fast, or I was trying to like drink longer or something, but I don't know. I would try to drink, like to slow down, to kind of pace myself, I guess, because I couldn't naturally pace myself. So I was like, okay, let me drink water in between so that I can not get obliterated like quickly and kind of remember some of my night. So I drink water in between. So I started taking these charcoal pills, and these pills, they were recommended to me by like a boyfriend of mine. And he got these pills and he knew how bad I got hungover and how I was, you know, completely out like for like 2 days after a night of drinking. And he liked to drink with me and we drank together. So he got these charcoal pills for me. And I was kind of skeptical at the start. So I read it and it said, okay, so take some before your first drink and then take two pills after your second drink and then after your third and fourth and so on. So I was like, I actually believed it because I'm like, oh my gosh, you never hear anything in writing talking about being able to have multiple drinks. So I was like, heck yeah, this is like perfect because it's telling me they already know that I'm going to drink probably 10 or 12 plus drinks a night. So this is like perfect. So I did. So I took those to try to moderate. It did work actually. So it worked. It slowed down my hangovers. It didn't make me nearly as sick. But then what would happen, of course, is like I woke up one time, I think I was in the back seat of my car. I don't know why. It was wintertime. It was freezing cold. And I had like the charcoal. I woke up and I had charcoal pills spilled all over the back seat. So I think I was trying to take them, but somehow forgot. So yeah, it works if you remember to take them, but if you're too drunk, it doesn't work. But so I was always trying to moderate my drinking or find ways that I could drink and enjoy it. And I couldn't. So that's how I knew that I probably had a problem with alcohol, is I was trying to control it and it never worked. The second one, when you quit drinking, you can't stay sober. So you're trying to moderate, you quit drinking, you swear it off and say, okay, I'm not going to drink anymore. Like I'm done. I probably need a bit of help. Maybe you go to a 12-step group or something, or to church or whatever, and you quit and it's easy, but there's always a reason that you drink again and you never fully stay sober. So I knew I had a problem with alcohol when I didn't want to drink and I kept drinking. So I'd quit drinking. I swore it off. I knew that there was no way I could ever drink again, because I didn't want to. I didn't feel that urge to drink again. I never felt like, oh my gosh, I need this drink. Mine was really slow. It was always like a slow until the very end, and then it wasn't. But every time like I went back out after like a period of quitting drinking and after I'd quit, it was always like, well, you know, maybe I can drink again. Maybe I wasn't as bad as I thought. And maybe it was just circumstances. I would always try to discredit that anything that had happened, right? It's like, well, it happened because of this. And I got drunk because I was on a diet and I was taking diet pills, or I can control it this time because now I know about my condition and now I know and I understand and I've been to detox. So now I understand. So I can go back out. And then the very last time, there was no thought beforehand. I just picked up a drink. It was like crazy because I had been stopped for a couple weeks, I think at the time, I don't know, maybe a month. And during that time, I was like putting together like weeks and I go drink. And then I put together a month, I go drink. And so at the very end, my very last drunk, I didn't have any thought beforehand. I just picked up a drink. And next thing you know, I was drinking. And then, well, when you're drinking, it's already too late. So, oh, well, I might as well, you know, tie one on pretty good. So it was, yeah. So I would stop and then I couldn't stay stopped until this last time when I did realize and admit that I was an alcoholic, which is putting a label on it, which I needed, because if I didn't have that holding me accountable, then I would keep doing the same thing and it wasn't working. So, I mean, if you're listening to this and you're wondering if you're an alcoholic or if you're wondering if you have a problem, you don't have to put a label on it, but I needed to. Because if I didn't, then I wouldn't hold myself accountable. I kept trying to do those things, try and drink normal, try and moderate, try, and it just didn't work. So that was another sign. So the third one is you can't control the amount you drink once you start drinking. This was huge for me. I could never control the quantity of alcohol that I drank. I never could. I would go to lunch with people and people would have a drink at lunch and I didn't have a drink because, and I thought that it, for somehow in my mind, my twisted mind, I thought I wasn't an alcoholic because I didn't drink during the day or I didn't drink at lunch and I could say no. But the truth was I knew myself and I knew once I drank, I couldn't control it. There was not a one drink at lunch. I never drank like that. So I just wouldn't drink. And for some reason, I gave myself credit for not drinking during the day, but really it was like, I already know I'm not coming back from this. So this lunch turns to dinner, turns to like a late night, and it's on a Tuesday and I had work to do. And I did, you know, I was responsible. I was somewhat responsible, I guess, but we would go to work lunch and someone would have like a glass of wine or a beer or a margarita or something. And I just would always opt out. I didn't have drinks at lunch because I already knew that drinks at lunch would turn into a whole night thing because I never had control over the amount I drank. Okay, let me preface this. If I did drink at lunch, I knew I wasn't going back to the office. So if I did make the choice to have a drink, it was like, okay, I'm done for the day. Like, all right, you want a drink? All right, let's do it. I'll drink the rest of the day and the night and probably until like 2 a.m. and I'm in my work clothes. I'm in a suit, like walking up back to my house and my poor dog's home, like, I'm hungry. Where have you been all day? Poor things in a cage. But anyways, yeah. So you can't control the amount you drink once you start drinking. So that was huge for me. I so wanted to control it. And I heard this one time, someone told me, you know, you're an alcoholic when you're trying to control your drinking, you're not enjoying it. And when you're enjoying your drinking, you're not controlling it. And that resonated with me because when I did try to control it, it was so hyper-focused on like, okay, I'm only going to have one drink and I didn't enjoy it. That's not fun for me. Fun for me is just drinking without abandon and not really caring about the consequences or how much I drink. I could never stop. I didn't want to stop. Once I started drinking, something inside of me, it was like a switch that flipped and then there was no coming back. Like all reason had gone out the window. I was a real Jekyll and Hyde. That was, there's no talking to me. You could not pull me back from whatever I was doing once I started drinking. So the fourth one, you lie or you hide the amount that you drink. I don't know why I would hide the amount that I drink. Well, I do know why actually. I didn't have a good reason to hide it, but I did. And I think I was hiding it for myself. I didn't want to hear the truth because if I'm telling people the amount I'm drinking or what I'm not doing as a result of my hangovers or my drunk. And then I had to admit it to myself. And so I really didn't owe anyone anything. And the people around me probably wouldn't have really even cared if I was drinking or not. I'm talking about like coworkers and things like that, but I would try to minimize it or I would try and hide it. And I think I was just hiding from myself because to be honest, it was just probably sounded so bad when I would think it and say, oh, I can't really say that out loud because it sounds terrible. So if you're lying or hiding the amount that you drink, that's a huge sign. I know a lot of people in recovery back in their drinking days would hide alcohol all over the house. I've heard people say that they found bottles later on that were like stashed in really good hiding spots that they hid so good when they were drunk that they forgot it was even there. But you're hiding your alcohol, you're hiding booze and drugs and stuff places. So that's a big sign. And you're lying about it. Yeah, I would definitely lie about the amount that I drank or when I drank or if I was drunk. So many times, like I had the flu and I was really just like hungover. And I didn't want to say, oh, I'm hungover. Yeah, I know it's Thursday, but yeah, I tied one on pretty good Wednesday night after work and never made it home and was up all night. So yeah, no, I had the flu all of the time or something wrong with me because I didn't want to be honest about it. Number five, you do things drunk you would never do sober. Ugh, this is a huge one for me. Ugh, I cringe thinking back about some of this stuff that I used to do. Like, it was terrible. This, like I said before, this something inside of me was like a switch would flip and this whole different personality would come out of me. And I would say things and do things and just be like a really nasty person sometimes. There were times that I was a happy drunk, but the times that I was in a mood and I was not the best version of myself, I could be pretty hostile, aggressive, and just a mean person. And I like really just, oh, I cringe thinking back. But thank God, thankfully, I got sober before social media. So I think there was MySpace, but like the camera phones had just started. So there were some, but it was like really grainy. And I could say that wasn't me. But the stuff that I did, oh gosh, thank God that it was not where video and audio was easily accessible because I did a lot of bad things and made a lot of really bad choices. And yeah, like I said, most alcoholics are Jekyll and Hyde. So normal during the day, alcoholic, normal, go to work, come home. And then that other side pops out and it's like two different people. And I'm glad I don't have that today. Like I can just be me, even the good and bad, even the bad side of me can just be bad and it's just normal. You know, I can be mean sometimes too. I'm human. So I have all of those emotions and thoughts and fears and everything that pops up, but I can just be me and be mean and nasty. And it's not as severe as it was, but at least I'm cognizant of it. At least I'm conscious of it. And at least I have a remedy now. So if I want to be like, I have that thought beforehand, like, okay, am I really going to say this? Am I really going to do this? I'm like, yep, I'm going to do it. Or like, am I really going to say this? I'm like, nope, I'll just think it. I don't feel like apologizing to anybody. So yeah, I'm just going to think it and move on with my life and not have it be this huge thing where when I was drinking, I would bottle a lot of that stuff up. So it would kind of just sit in there, you know, sit somewhere deep down. I just wouldn't say anything. Then get a little bit of alcohol in me and all that's all my inhibitions went out the window. Try and be like, you know, let me not speak. Let me not say anything. Let me try to make everything good. And then I would drink. And now then it was on. Then I was telling people what time it was and who they were. And then I'd have to, well, I usually would just isolate for a while. So I just would like, oh, I think I told that person, oh, let me not go to that place for a while. And then it was really bad. I got another cell phone. So I actually had two cell phones because when I like to isolate after I created a really big mess, I was like my emergency phone. So only like my mom and a couple people had that number. And so it was like, okay, if you need to get a hold of me, here's this number. And it usually was when I was isolating after doing some really stupid things when I was drunk. Yep. All right. Number six, your quality of life is declining. Some people don't have a huge decline in their life. So I did. I mean, I say I did. So in the grand scheme of things, no. Did I lose a job? Was I losing? Not really. You know, for the most part, I wasn't losing relationships. The economy happened to be going to shit during that time. So this was in 2008 when I got sober. And so I was in the real estate industry and it just so happened I was in the mortgage industry and it was during the mortgage meltdown and everything was going crazy. So yeah, so I did lose work because I saw people that were, you know, the ship was sinking, right? And I saw people in my industry who were getting off the ship and like, you know, surviving. And I was like sitting on the Titanic. I was like, I was too drunk to get off. Right. So it's like sinking to the bottom and the signs are there. And I was just like, I don't have anything to cope with. I don't know how to cope with this. So I'm just going to go down with the ship. Like I was the damn captain. And that's what I did. So my quality of life, it did decline. I'm not sure like the severity of it, if it would have gone down as rapidly if the economy wouldn't have been as bad. But, you know, but then again, it's like, I don't know what came first. If it was like that brought on my alcoholism, or, you know, I really don't know. But my life declined because of that, my financial life. And then came everything along with that. But it was a huge eye opener because I started drinking excessively. So all of that stuff's happening. I start drinking. Now I'm drinking instead of having fun and to, you know, just kind of loosen up. I'm drinking to blackout. I'm drinking at this point because this is the only tool that I have. This is the only thing I know that will stop this pain. This is the only thing that I have to count on, because I could count on alcohol. I couldn't count on anything else. There was nothing else I could count on. And so I knew that alcohol would stop this immediately. It was such a quick fix too. But then eventually it stopped being a quick fix and the problems were still there and I still had to deal with life. So then my health did start declining as well. I was really young when I got sober, and I should not have had the health, you know, the issues and pains in my kidney and things like that from drinking. And so my health did suffer a little bit. And thankfully I was young enough when I got sober and stopped drinking that my health, I'm in good health now and don't have any health issues from that. But yeah, my relationships, I couldn't keep a relationship, not because I couldn't keep it. It's because I didn't want it, because I never really wanted anyone to get probably too close to me, but I didn't, my family and friends, they really didn't know. They knew how much I drank. They didn't know the pain I felt and the guilt I felt and the excessive amount I drank. Everyone knew I drank. Like, that wasn't a secret. Everyone knew I drank, but people thought I was a good time and no one really wanted me to get sober either. So that one was tricky for me with my life declining. Some people have, you know, major health issues, cirrhosis of the liver. People have, you know, DUIs, car crashes as a result of alcohol. There's a lot of things that they have, which make it, you know, abundantly clear that they have a problem with alcohol, but mine wasn't, you know, they weren't that, I guess, you know, as prevalent as some of the other people. So the last one, signs that you might have a problem with alcohol, or that you're listening to a podcast about signs of alcohol. So you're obviously curious if you have a problem. And so if you think that you have a problem, you probably do. The extent of that problem, that's going to be up to you and time will tell. But you probably do have an issue with drinking if you're inquiring, if you're Googling up alcohol and having a problem with alcohol. So I hope that everyone got something out of this. On the blog, if you go to the website, thepinkcloudpodcast.com, you will see some of the links I shared with resources, different recovery resources, and some books as well. So I hope you got something out of it and have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Pink Cloud Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. This helps others find the show, and we really appreciate it. We'll catch you in the next episode.